can't change it, and they changed it to CR.
Tonight, I'd like to call to order the May 13th fiscal year 2014 budget hearing. Today, we are going to be considering ethics, law, human resources, officer procurement, office of technology and finance. I'd like to recognize those who have joined us at the table. But first, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. Brian Holleiter, my legislative aide, is taking notes on the for the minutes of the meeting today. I'm joined on my left, Councilman Weiner, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Bell, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Retta. Do I have a motion on the capital budget hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Do I have all those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. Moving on to the budget presentations for today. Ethics is now up for its budget. And Rosemary? No? Okay. Please introduce yourself for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Johanna Bishop, and I'm the chair of the Ethics Commission.
Okay.
Have you all had a chance to review the ethics budget, or do you need me to review any points for you?
Generally, the way we like to do this for the benefit of the council members is just to give a brief overview, and then we'll have questions.
All right.
If members have particular questions.
Thank you for the good council advice. This is my first time before this table of leaders in the community. So on page 3 in our ethics booklet, you'll see an overview of the ethics budget through the years. And the bad news is we're asking for money. The good news is we're asking for less money than we did before. So if you take a look at page 3...
You would be an exception.
Well, we would like to bring that to the table and start off on a good note. If you'll take a look at page 3, we are asking for $209,098. And if we move on to page 5, there is a detailed ethics budget itemization. And most of our costs have either stayed the same or gone down, with the exception of the IGS costs, mm-hmm. which have gone up. But it's my understanding that we don't have control over that, and that is the infrastructure. On page 10, we have a listing of the Ethics Commission goals for the last or this coming year. And I'd like to bring your attention to this, because I think our goals are worthy, since the Ethics Commission, as you know, consists of citizens like myself who donate their time and energy to the community and get no compensation in return. So what we have done, and what we will continue to do, is to provide ethics training to Newcastle County administrators and support staff. We will maintain a decreased time frames for investigations. We will assist in the timely completion and filing of statement of financial interests. We will maintain office efficiency, implement a centralized gift log, improved with the administration and council for statement of financial interest filings for nominees of boards and commissions, and increase the timely filing of annual statement of financial interest to 85%. And those are all doable goals, and we're excited about those goals. Even though I would like to point out to council and the members here that we are currently down one ethics commissioner and soon to be down two. So it's going to be imperative that we get some new ethics commissioners to the commission. Otherwise, we won't have a quorum. And when we don't have a quorum, we won't be able to do our business.
Okay. That's a very good thing to bring up before this body, and I just wanted to defer a question. Who appoints to the ethics commission? Jim Boyle?
It's Jim Boyle, policy director. In fact, we had one earlier this morning. I believe Mr. Turkle, who's currently the chair,
Mr. Turkle was the past chair, and he is, his term will be expired in June.
He will expire in June, and he cannot be renewed.
That's correct.
The reason being that he is going through his two terms. But that is a executive appointment. It's not a council appointment. And there is one other one.
And there is one other. I think both of the appointments are executive appointments. So I would encourage you to communicate with the county executive to see what you can do with your influence to make that happen.
I'll give him a call right into this meeting.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
So it's all the executive branch.
Well, that'll sink that.
The other thing I would like to bring to your attention is that on May 23rd, the Ethics Commission is providing ethics training. We do have an outside vendor who's going to be doing the ethics training. We've done this in the last few years. It's always been a very lively discussion. This time the training will be about a half day, and I would encourage you, if you can, hopefully you can attend. If you could not attend yourself, to send someone on your behalf, but certainly to really encourage your staff and members who are affected by the Ethics Commission to please attend. Are there any questions about the Ethics Commission budget?
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. First, let me thank you and the other members of the Ethics Commission for your public service and for the high standards that you adhere to. I noticed on page 5, salaries and wages and employees' benefits have gone down 9.5% respectively in each of those categories. Could you or Rose explain why that drop in expenses?
It's really rather simple. Sandy was with us for a number of years, and she retired last year. And she had a higher salary because she had been in the position for a longer time. We now have Gail McGrath, who has taken Sandy's place. And we're very fortunate to have her.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And just for the record, the bulk of the costs associated with the Ethics Commission is contractual services. Maybe you could explain a little bit about that.
Well, the Ethics Commission is guided by counsel, Rose Killian. Most of you know Rose, I understand. And Rose's job is to provide counsel to the Ethics Commission. She has the legal background that most of us don't have.
Okay. Councilman Smiley.
And just let me assist by saying, and also in this cost is the fees for outside counsel when cases have to be referred out. Rose actually only makes $151,000. The other two.
I would be delighted to accept that amount.
If you can find another attorney for $2,004.
So okay. It's a mixture.
Very good point.
We do have to use outside counsel when we do investigations and that sort of thing. So that's where that money goes.
Okay. Very good. Are there any further questions for members of council? Got a lot lengthy agenda. Councilman Tackett.
Just really fast, could you enlighten us on any advances that you've been making towards the use of technology and the internet and the information?
Certainly. I will ask Council Killian to contribute to that. I know that we've really improved and updated the website, and we're really working on getting more and more people to use file their SFIs electronically.
It works really smoothly when you got your password.
Yeah.
For the record, I'm Rosemary Killian, counsel to the Ethics Commission. A number of us have been working recently on a Statement of Financial Interest task force. And as you know, the Statement of Financial Interest is mandatory. For those who file it, it's mandatory. It's electronic. But we are going to create a new database, not necessarily a database, but a new format and a new form. And we have met probably 5 times so far as a group, and this group is open to the public, and a number of people here have attended. And we are going to be revamping that whole form. It may become a little more complicated than it is now, but it will continue to be handled by the outside vendor that we use for confidentiality purposes. Secondly, we have already, and we're in the really a little beyond the testing phase in creating a format for a gift log for everyone to use at one site. I've held off, we're really ready to go on that, but we've held off bringing people in to test it. We want to bring your staff in who are going to be using that gift log for your records. We want to have them come in and really use the format. But since we have this other issue going, we're going to try to combine everything there. As to whether we've gone on to the social media network, we have not. We, as you know, we're only staffed 3 days a week. And keeping up with that is really a 5-day-a-week or perhaps a 7-day-a-week issue, answering questions and doing that. So we have not done that. And that's probably more of a staffing issue because, as you know, this is a very small agency. It's got me as a contractor and it's got a part-time employee. So we're really sort of limited in what we can manage safely and responsibly to the public.
Thank you.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Sheldon has joined us at the table.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to add to what Councilman Weinert said. I appreciate volunteering, all the commissioners volunteering their time. And, you know, it's probably one of the most important units, really, most significant units in county government, that we have an ethics commission. And Rosemary Killian has done a great job, continues to do a great job. And I just want to mention that for the record, that anytime we've had communication and contact with her, she's really responded and worked along with everybody. So she continues to do an excellent job.
Thank you for mentioning that. And I would like to add for the record as well that we have a very lively ethics commission. There's nobody on the ethics commission who's shy about questioning or putting forth their opinions. And Rose Killian does a really good job of lining us back up and taking us back to the law. So that's good.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? I'd just like to add that the online SFI is very convenient and much more, you know, amenable to, you know, getting the full disclosure, I think, than the paper copies ever were. So, and I look forward to seeing what the new SFI statement will contain. And it'll be available also online, I trust.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, we hope to have legislation. It'll need enabling legislation if it changes, okay, because, as you all know, the reporting is dictated by the code, what's in it. And so we hope to have it ready by the fall. And it's obviously not going to be ready by the summer. But the group is hoping it's targeting the fall. So you'll see something.
Good. All right. I'd like to recognize Councilman Powers has joined us at the table. Any other questions, concerns for the Ethics Commission budget presentation? Moving along, thank you very much for the very good presentation. Moving along to Law and General Insurance from the administration. Councilor Pepakai, please have a seat.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Bernard Pepakai, County Attorney for Newcastle County, and this is the Office of Law presentation for our recommended 2014 budget. With me today are County Solicitor Daryl Parson, our Acting Risk Manager, Ms. Cheryl McDonough, and our Finance and Budget Manager, Ms. Marie Walker. I believe each of you have the recommended budget in front of you, so I'm not going to go over every detail because I'm sure I don't want to bore you with that, but I just want to hit the highlight and some of the things that I believe that you may be interested in. First and foremost, the Office of Law, as you will see on page one, consists of a total of 22 positions, including the county attorney. Currently, out of those 22 positions, we have two of those positions that are currently vacant due to some staff changes. Those vacant positions are a first assistant county attorney position as well as a risk manager position. Going to page two, the amount that we are recommending is $7,549,408. As you will see, this is a change of approximately 1.63%. Most of that, actually all of that, is due to wage increase that comes through and benefits increase that just comes through natural progression. So it's not a matter of the Office of Law requesting any additional funds for any specific purpose, but just as a matter of natural increase. As you will see from page three, budget is broken down as follows. Approximately 46% of the recommended budget goes to workers' compensation. Approximately 7% goes to our risk management medical, which consists of our non-occupation medical deals. Most of that deals with public safety, things such as our annual physical examinations, return to works, pre-employment physicals, as well as psychological examinations and things of that nature, particularly public safety, take up a good portion of that. 10% goes to our general insurance, and 37% is for the actual operation of the Office of Law and Policy and everything else. Page 4 simply just indicates how our numbers as far as authorized positions have remained steady over the last 3 years. There has not been no increase nor any request for any such increase. Page 5 is a synopsis of our diversity in the Office of Law. Currently, the Office of Law is diverse. There's always room for improvement, and we have been working on that, as have other departments and agencies within the county government. We have a diverse staff consisting of, percentage-wise, I believe, slightly over 30% of minorities. Over 50% of our office are women. So we are, I would like to say and proudly that we are a diverse body that that can do the job and do the job very competently. Moving forward, on page 6 is just another further breakdown of some of the things that I have just previously went over, consisting of our salary and wages. As you will see, accounts for approximately 1.857 of our total budget, 1.8 million of our total recommended budget, and 3.7 million is in fixed charges that just remain steady. So again, these are many of the things that we have talked about in the previous pages. Page 7, some additional details. Most of this on page 7, 8 are similar to what is on page 6. So it's just broken down in further details. If you have any questions about any of that specifically, I happily entertain it. Otherwise, I will refer you to page 9, which basically shows a few positions that were title changed. An assistant county attorney 2 position was changed into a secretary to a county attorney. Assistant county attorney 2 position was changed into an assistant county 1 attorney, and a legal assistant position was changed into an assistant county 1 attorney. Really, that just shows that just the title change, it didn't change anything substantively there. In fact, as far as finances are concerned, we decreased the amount that we were actually putting out under the original. So we actually saved money by doing it this way, and the salaries of the people that came on were much less than the salaries of the positions that were open at the time.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I just have a question, because we're looking at FY14 budget, and you said change, decrease for the people that came on. So these positions are already filled?
Well, due to how they were filled, for example, you see a legal assistant right. position. Basically, you have 1 support staff and 2 attorneys, and they were replaced with 1 support staff and 2 attorneys, but because the timeline, we had to change an attorney to a secretary and then revert that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I guess my question is then, are they, well, they wouldn't be the same people because you would have lowered pay. So what I'm saying is, but my question is, are these positions filled at this point in time?
These positions that you're seeing right here are filled.
Okay, that's all. Okay. Thank you.
Moving to page 11, just to highlight a few of the things that the Office of Law does in its everyday accomplishments. handling various disorderly premises, charges, litigation matters, of course, everything that the county is involved in. Spent a lot of time with our FOIA policies and procedures, and responded to FOIA requests throughout the county, and just assist in the general administration of county government as it relates to the law. I won't bore you with a word-by-word description, but most of it is pretty obvious, and I'm sure all of you know exactly what the Office of Law does. Some of our challenges, page 13, just to highlight a few briefly that just to bring to your attention. Some of the challenges that we have is just to maintain the quality of our performance with the limited staff we do have. And with every governmental agency, most governmental agencies, you can never have enough to do all the people's work, because people's work is voluminous and it's very important. So it's definitely a challenge to maintain that quality of work with the limited number of personnel that we do have. Continuing to hold medical costs down for injured workers is another challenge. That's something that none of us have any control over. Workers' comp constantly goes up. The cost of medical treatment constantly goes up. Trying to return injured workers, rehabilitated workers into the workforce is another challenge that I just would like to point out. And, challenges as it relates to the general operations of certain particular issues, such as, moving open space parcels into the responsibility of maintenance corporations, and the way in which we go about that remains a challenge as well.
I have a question.
Yes,
sir. Councilman Smiley.
One of your bullets is to reduce processing time for tax exemption applications. Mm-hmm. Is that in general, or is that mostly nonprofits? Because the senior tax exemption application seems pretty cut and dry. They have to submit it along with their, tax papers. So I didn't know whether there was more research if a nonprofit is requesting it, or I'm just curious, do we have a backlog of the seniors exemption applications? Or does that even come
to I'm not aware of a backlog of the senior exempt applications, but I am aware of the nonprofits, particularly the nonprofits that don't file their proper paperwork up front. And then when they receive that tax bill, they say, hey, I'm a nonprofit, and we have to go through that process, that can back things up.
Just to explain to you, okay.
Quite a bit.
That's why you need that stamp that says denied. See you next year. Okay, thank you.
Page 14 deals with our general insurance and the deductibles that we have for each category of insurance. Currently, our general insurance is out the bid, and we're in the interviewing process as we speak for a general insurance carrier. And as stated previously on page 15, we have two positions that are currently not filled in the Office of Law, which we hope to get filled soon, which are our first assistant county attorney, as well as a risk manager.
Councilman Smiley.
Are these two positions funded?
Yes, they are.
Okay, a question was asked of me today, so I'm going to pass along. When you have a position that's funded, do you basically go with the funding that was in the budget when it went vacant, or do you assign another level to it for budgetary purposes? Because you have a grade and you have a step.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if when it becomes vacant, let's just say it's a step 8, do you, for instance, would you go from the FY13 budget to the FY14 budget and leave the funding at a step 8, or would you pick a middle ground of step 5, or would you go to step 10? And I think you might have a lifeline over there.
Well, there's two of us. You want me to take it?
Yeah.
I'm meeting Chief Human Resources Officer, and Ed will correct me if I'm wrong. What typically happens when there's a vacancy, and in the scenario you gave, the person has vacated at step A, when the hire is made, it is typically at step one, unless there are some other factors that the applicant is bringing to the table, and then a request can be made for an advanced step.
So, my question would be, but still I go to, what funding is being left in for purposes of the budget? I mean, I would assume you would leave.
Yeah, and even the finance office, when they put their budget together, their position's vacant, normally it would be at step one or maybe even at step two at the highest.
At the highest.
Yeah, if their position's vacant at the time, the budget, but if somebody leaves, we don't go through and change the budget.
No, I'm that's why I'm asking now. I'm looking at two vacancies here right now. One from 2008, one from 2013, that have been funded in every budget ongoing. So I was just wondering if what
normally,
step you used.
Normally step
at
one or step
point,
two.
At this point here.
Step one or two usually.
No, I know we're not doing. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Step one, I believe, is will be used. Matter of fact, for our first assistant county attorney position, specifically, I know if that position gets filled, that will be a position that we would definitely have to, it's underfunded because we won't be able to fill the first assistant county attorney position at its current funded rate, what we're requesting for. For example, if we have an attorney in our office right now that's say making $80,000 or $90,000, I believe we have this first assistant county attorney position funded at $74,000. So it won't. It's definitely underfunded as it's stated right now. If we move towards page 16.
I think Councilman Weiner had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question actually is addressed to both our co-chairs as much to manager of this department. I think on subject page on 14 would merit its own discussion at a finance committee meeting concerning the various pockets of insurance that we have, the various deductibles, how this administration has been working to try to save money, what success they've had, what policies are we using, are these contracts that are being entered into, are they on, or the executory have, will they be coming to county council for approval? It's obviously way beyond what we could get into in this session, and I'd like to suggest we put it on a finance committee agenda.
No problem. I just suggest once we get through the budget process, we can come back.
Sure.
We may have a contract by that time that'll help. We can roll it right in together.
Good.
That was Councilman Smiley for the record.
I apologize, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? I just have one question. What percentage of your workforce is merit? What percentage of it is appointed?
The vast majority of the Office of Law is appointed. Percentage-wise, we have 22 positions. Approximately five are merit, I believe. So we're talking 5%. Maybe 20%.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
As far as page 16 is concerned, that deals with our contract services. The only thing that a lot of this is stuff that we've gone over. The one thing that I would note on page 16 is that under the workers' compensation, there is a budgetary amount of $137,000 for a third-party administrator. When we submitted our budget, we were using a third-party administrator for workers' compensation. We no longer do so. So at some point, after the fiscal year start, we probably will come back with some proposed legislation to have that moved into workers' compensation medical. So that's the only thing of relevance that I will just point out on that front.
Councilman Smiley.
So you're not asking me to just reduce it ahead of time to help you from having to do that? I just want, if you need me, I'm here.
This is definitely funds that is going to be utilized. I mean, you can't get...
For the underfunded positions.
Exactly. But this was, this line, I just wanted to point the council's attention that we no longer have the third-party administrator for workers' compensation.
I'm here to help. Let's pick up the phone.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bernard, real fast, and this is something I had a quick conversation with Daryl here that I just gotten off the phone with a constituent, but they had had a backup in their house and submitted a claim. I thought this was under risk management, but they got a letter of denial from a Gallagher Bassett Services out of PA. So I was a little surprised at that, but it was the first time I dealt with anything like that.
Gallagher Bassett is our general insurance, who we hold our general insurance through. So I'm not familiar with the particular case to which you're referring to. What time frame are you referring to?
Well, that's okay. I mean, we're in a budget hearing, so I was just asking about that. There'll be plenty of emails following this, so believe me. After what I'd already gotten out of special services, already knew in the history of it, for that letter to arrive was very surprising and very shocking. So I don't know how that process is handled or what they got, but I mean, I don't consider that part of the budget hearing. So I was just asking about that contractual.
Okay.
All right.
They weren't qualified. Any other questions?
PA, not Delaware.
All right. Just no, continue. I'm going to circle back on one point. Proceed.
Okay. Going to page 17, which lists our budget by object page. The only thing that I guess I would point out is that under contractual services, the big number there is for outside counsel attorney fees, but I note that this amount is the same as previous years. So it's not being requested for additional funds. And again, on page 18, you'll see the 137 again that deals with our third party administrator for workers' compensation, which I indicated before that we will have to subsequently come back with some kind of legislative proposal to have that those funds moved. If anyone has any questions for me specifically as it relates to any of these things like object code, I will happily do my best to explain it. If not, I'm here to answer any questions in general or depart from the table to take the council with.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question. Just a couple of comments. I just want to offer my compliments to the Office of Law for the very obvious improvement and diversity. I mean, it's a stark improvement there, so I want to congratulate you for that. And I'm also very pleased to know that you are defending the workforce housing program, the violations there, because I actually got a call from someone who is an opponent of workforce housing saying to me that he felt that one developer was in violation. I think he meant it in some way to maybe try to get me to get to a position where I felt it wasn't working, and I just responded, well, that's not my job, it's not what I do. So I'm glad to know that you are paying attention. It has been enforced.
Councilman Smiley.
The only comment I want to make is I had a conversation with your office about the termination of a third party vendor for workers' comp, and I was very pleased with the way the conversation. I think, at least as a result of that conversation, I feel that part of this government is definitely headed in the right direction. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Councilman Wire.
Thank you. I'm pleased to see that the monthly response electronically on status of litigation, et cetera, is continuing, and I'd see a more current report. I think at the end of the last year things were slipping. Of course, there was some transition, but it's important for us to know when cases are settled, et cetera, and for where we're getting through litigation, make sure that it's current, that we understand where those stages are, I see an extra effort, and I appreciate it.
And to that note, thank you very much, Councilman. And to that note, I believe that I am on the schedule for executive session to discuss litigation strategy with the council this upcoming Tuesday. Just to point that out to you.
Any other members of council have a question or comment? I would like to just go back to page 11 under significant accomplishments and continue to urge the law department continue to work with our county police on the disorderly premises, problem property cases, and to underscore how important that effort is in fighting crime and improving quality of life in communities in Newcastle County. That's Councilman Tackett's great piece of legislation, and it's proven to be a real important tool in the toolbox for improving public safety in our communities. So I applaud your working closely with police and encourage you to do that. I see at the TAPS briefing, and I think that's a very good, powerful, you know, kind of way to work in partnership, police, law, code enforcement, and it's a really important effort in our communities to maintain that level of commitment to that disorderly premises standard and going after the problem property owners.
Thank you very much. Anything else?
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Going to move along in the hearing today. Human Resources. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Councilman Hartier, Councilman Smiley, members of County Council, guests and others. I'm Lynn Beattie. I'm the Chief Human Resources Officer for Newcastle County. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity today to present the Office of Human Resources segment of the Department of Administration's fiscal year recommended budget. With me today are members of the Office of Human Resources leadership team, Tammy Martin, who's our Pension and Benefits Administrator, Kelly Tomczak, who's our Human Resources Administrator, our Money Lady, Marzana Karras, Liz Petrick, Human Resources Administrator, and Helen McKinley, Human Resources Administrator. Holding down the fort back at the ranch is Latanya Ashley, who's our ERLR specialist. I thank them once again for all of their support and all that they've been doing to improve county government and also in support of me.
Just a question.
Councilman Wyden.
Yeah, could you elaborate on what the money person does? You got my attention.
The money lady is my budget and fiscal analyst. She keeps me from going over budget. She makes sure she reviews all invoices before they come to me for signature. She points out things if it looks like we're getting ready to get close to a budget line item, and she just is fiscally superb. My money lady.
Okay.
Same title I gave her last year.
Right, thanks.
She's going to want a raise this year.
Everybody wants a raise.
I know.
The Office of Human Resources provides services and support to a variety of people. The employees and retirees of Newcastle County, the executive office, the county's operating departments, row offices, and county council. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you highlights from the Office of Human Resources fiscal year recommended budget. If you take a look on page one, you'll see that we're a very small office. We're divided into two sections, employee services, 13 and a half positions, and benefits and pensions, 5.5 positions. Marjana is the half and half, serving approximately 1,440 full-time employees, 435 part-time seasonal employees, and 1,327 pensioners. If you flip over to page two, you'll see that the budget of $2,732,155 reflects a whopping increase of 10.57% or $261,000 over fiscal year 13. Before you become alarmed with this increase, please note that the primary driver of the increase is the transfer of one position from the Department of Special Services, as well, and that's Kelly, as well as the funding of the Human Resources Assistant. And I'll give you a little bit more information on that in a few minutes. If you flip over to page three, you'll see the split of our budget between our two units 66% employee services, 34% pension and benefits. That split has remained pretty much flat over the past couple of years. And to nobody's surprise, personnel costs account for the bulk of our budget, approximately 75%, as noted on the chart on the lower right-hand side of the page. If you look at page four, you'll see the increase of the one position that I just spoke of from fiscal year 2013. This reflects the transfer of the Human Resource Administrator from the Department of Special Services. And let me just give you a little bit of information as to what was going on with that. As you know, I came on board in 2011. And at that time, I made a personal commitment to my staff that I wasn't going to implement any major changes in the Office of Human Resources, quite frankly, until I had some idea if I was going to be here after the general election. You know, you probably know that the Office of Human Resources has had four CHROs and one no-show CHRO in less than 5 years. I'm the sixth. And so I wanted to have a little bit of stability before we, you know, made massive changes. Now, at the time of my arrival, the HR administration's position, the one that Kelly is in, was physically located in the Department of Special Services. But if you take a look at the job spec, all human resources administrators report in to the CHRO. And so I spoke with Wayne Merritt, I spoke with CAO Grimaldi, and we agreed that this would be the appropriate time to move the position under the HR complement, and also to make sure that we're consistent in our practices throughout the county, whether it's special services and to give a little, or a public safety, but to give a little bit more attention in the oversight and direction of that position. Additionally, I spoke with the CAO and the county executive requesting that the previously unfunded legal assistant position, you may remember that last year there was a legal assistant position that was unfunded, be changed to an HR assistant position, and that position be funded based on the operating needs of the Office of Human Resources. You know, the past two times I've presented a budget here, I think most of you around this table agreed that we needed a little bit more support in the Office of Human Resources. And after, you know, taking a look at the office and the needs that we have, are you saying no?
Of course.
I think this is the appropriate fit, another position, not a legal assistant, but a human resources assistant that will help our staff and relieve the senior staff from doing some of the work that the HR assistant should be performing. So I'm comfortable in making that recommendation at this time, and I sincerely ask for your support and consideration of the recommendation. If you flip over the page,
I think that the point to be made about that is that movement presents no net increase really to the cost of county government.
That's correct. Except
just that moving a position, which shows as an increase in your department, but we're subtracting that cost out from another part.
That's part of it, because there is an increase because I'm asking to fund a previously unfunded position. Yeah. So that's about $55,000, including salary and overhead and benefits.
Councilman Smiley.
And I have the perfect EA transfer to help you out.
I hear you.
That way it'd be cost neutral.
But I want
probably
to
be work neutral too.
I want to make sure that you all knew that there was an increase there, because that's an unfunded position becoming funded. And again, it's about $55,000, including salary and overhead. If you look over to page five, you'll see our diversity chart. Nothing has changed. We're really flat and have virtually no turnover in the Office of Human Resources. We continue to be heavily dominated by women. We do have two males in our office, and we are diverse racially as well. If you flip over to page six, you'll see our fiscal year 14 recommended budget at the object level. Detailed information follows on pages seven and eight. You know, as previously noted, the driver of our increases is primarily attributed to salary and overhead, with the transfer of the Human Resources Administrator and the funding of the Human Resources Assistant. If you turn to page 10, you'll look at some new programs and services. I anticipate piloting, and you've heard me talk about this, the job rotation program this fall. That will come, though, after the rolling out of our new training course, RESPECT. We talked about this a little bit last year with the lack of diversity training or quality diversity training. I will say I'm very excited. We have seen, I won't call it a pilot because it has been internal, but we did actually work with the EDLG on fine-tuning it, and they're going to assist us in rolling this out. I think this is going to be a meaningful program. Liz Petrick is taking the lead on that one, and I'm very excited. And also would offer to have a demo of County Council if you're willing to avail yourselves of such, but I think you'll be pleased with that program.
Councilman Smiley.
Though very laudable on the pilot job rotation program, won't the broad implementation of that be subject to what can be achieved at the bargaining table with the collective bargaining agreements that are all up?
No, that wasn't the original premise. The original premise was that this was going to be a volunteer opportunity, a win-win for both the employee as well as the county, and anyone who would be participating that would come, you know, of their own free will. We would work hand in hand with the locals who would be made aware of all of the parameters involved. There's no compensation increase or anything along those lines.
I just be curious to see how it works out, because I have negotiated some, I have been involved with these, but they still required some collective bargaining process to get the language to make sure that they were non-grievable, just to protect the program.
So we could actually do that by way of a side agreement, but I don't anticipate that would be necessary. If you flip over to page 11, you'll see the highlights of our fiscal year 13 accomplishments. Although we didn't have such a huge savings, we successfully set up all retirees such that they can access their salary, well, their payroll, their pay statements, their benefits, all of their information on the PeopleSoft system, and this eliminates our the need for our to mail statements and notices and things of that nature. I thank Tammy and her unit for getting that up and running. And as you remember last year, we talked about the carve out for the medical and the prescription stop loss insurance. We experienced significant savings with that. We anticipate continuing savings this year, although it will not be nearly as much as it was last year, and our premium went up slightly because we didn't have as many bidders on that RFP this year. One thing that is not listed in the highlights you may of the accomplishments, you may recall that last year we implemented a step therapy program, you know, preferred step therapy, similar to what the state of Delaware does. And that came up in March of last year, and we experienced approximately $55,000 annualized savings on that. So that was no drama, minor change, but still reaped some savings for us. And then lastly, to highlight the accomplishments, I can't say enough about our police academy. We had our 38th academy. We're working on our 39th academy, and it keeps us busy around the clock. The academy is tentatively, the next academy is tentatively scheduled to come up in October of this year. If you flip over to page 12, you'll see our challenges for the fiscal year. Most notably, we want to make sure that we protect our personnel records and data, and plans are currently underway to safeguard the Office of Human Resources. If you've been in our operating section, you'll notice that we're wide open for all the world to see. Anybody walks up, and we handle a lot of sensitive data. So the county executive and the CAO have been giving that some attention, and we're going to secure that a little bit more than what we already have. It's also a challenge when we're dealing with our retirees on the telephone. Sometimes we have to speak loud so that they can hear us. And when we're speaking loud, everybody hears everything. And even though we're all within the Office of Human Resources together, everything we say is not everybody's business. And then we're also sharing space with finance, and I've had the occasion to have some finance people to tell me about some of the conversations they've heard in the Office of Human Resources. So we look forward to getting that squared away. In the recruitment area, I look forward to partnering with Director Bryant and Chief Larry Tan as we improve our paramedic recruitment process. We've talked about this for 2 years running, but I am thoroughly convinced that we are finally going to get some things done. Thanks to the strong support of the county executive as well as Director Bryant, we've got some things lined up, and it's really been a pleasure working with both of them in this area. Not listed as a challenge, but something that I want to bring to your attention is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. That is on the horizon. You know, different parts of it have already been implemented. But it's a massive piece of legislation that's going to, you know, start taking shape over the next few years and can have an impact to our budget in the out years. And so we're working with our consultants on that to stay ahead of any kind of thing that may blindside us. The next few pages are pretty much, I'm sorry.
Question. In the paramedic recruitments, exploring the possibility of offering scholarships to qualified candidates. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as I know, if they go into the program, they're paid a salary. They get paid, they get the benefits, the whole nine yards. So I guess my question is, in looking at offering scholarships, I'm not sure, because we pay for the education as well, I'm not sure what we'd be offering, but I guess what I have to ask is, I understood there was a period of time, because we had a council staff member here who had going back for further education with the assumption or understanding that there would be compensation, the courses would be paid by the county through furthering education, and that program had been stopped. So
you're talking about the tuition reimbursement
yes.
program.
So
that program had been ceased for budgetary reasons.
So my question is, to offer an incentive to someone who we're already going to pay to attend, who's already going to be paid to attend, and we're going to be paying for the courses, and not have some type of incentive for existing employees. I guess that's where my confusion comes in.
Well, what that
and maybe
is,
I'm misunderstanding.
Yeah, what that incentive though is, we're not even doing it right now. So it's
I know.
The scholarship is to get the person into the school, not anything above paying for their tuition. So if the tuition would be in the form of a scholarship. We're not doing that right now.
Don't we pay for their schooling? They come in through the county program?
We're not doing that right now.
I think that we're talking about two different programs.
I think so, too.
What you're talking about is a program where we hire them.
Identify yourself.
Oh, excuse me. I'm Liz Petrick, Office of Human Resources. There's a program where we hire paramedic candidates, and they go through the program at
yes.
Dell Tech, and we pay them a salary and their tuition while they're enrolled right. in that program, and the state pays for a percentage of that. I believe the program that we're looking at here is looking at students who are in Dell Tech in the program, where we wouldn't necessarily hire them on immediately, but we would offer scholarship to help offset their costs while they're in school. And it's just one of the means that we're currently looking
oh.
at. So it's not pay them plus scholarship,
well,
but it's a different.
I would hope if we did that, there would be some type of a commitment letter that would obligate them
oh, absolutely.
Once they graduate.
Always.
But I'm looking at offering outside when we're not the people that are already loyally dedicating themselves to the community.
But there are programs available for the paramedics through other scholarship issues in the Department of Public Safety.
Yeah, I'm looking beyond that.
But I understand what you're saying, but I think what we're trying to address with this particular initiative is the lack of diversity in the paramedic ranks, which is why we're trying to offer that incentive. And so we would probably look at some other things as, you know, the budget improves.
Yeah, I'm just not sure we could legally base a scholarship on that, though. But that's Mr. Pepperkai's problem.
Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I applaud your efforts. I think that it makes a lot of sense to encourage some of the folks that have enrolled in the paramedic program on their own dollar and may have not been hired by Newcastle County. And in some cases, we have folks that, while they're in school, the other two counties are going after them. So from the standpoint of taking a look, we've got some excellent folks that can evaluate with Dell Tech their progress and would they be a worthwhile candidate here at Newcastle County. I think that's an excellent idea, and I think it does serve to reach out and try to answer some of the problems we've had with diversity. Too many times in the past, we've had candidates that were not hired by Newcastle County and yet still are in paramedic training paying their own. So I think that this initiative will enable us to improve diversity as well as seeking good qualified candidates that others are taking away from us right now.
Councilman Moretta.
Thank you. In the same line, Lynn, of recruiting and paying scholarships, the ones that are in Dell Tech now on their own, what is the difference comparison if they come into our program and we pay them compared to what would cost us to give them a scholarship of Dell Tech? Are we saving any money?
We'd save some, yes.
Because if they, if we pay for their scholarship at the end of their term, are they coming with us, or are they just going to go through the education? I know what Councilman Smiley said about a letter of commitment, but that commitment sometimes, you know, in different programs and different organizations, they have a five-year program where they have to stay there for 5 years and work after they come through their training.
And that's typical when you're paying for someone's education, you sign a letter, a contract, basically, that says you are committed to the organization for some number of years. Usually it's not over the dollars don't equate to how long you're going to serve, but it's usually somewhere between 2 to 3 years as a commitment baseline. But we would work with the Office of Law to revamp the contract we already have, actually.
I see a couple of lifelines at the end of the room there. Director Bryant and Deputy CAO there as well.
Director Bryant, we do have a five-year plan. Right? If we pay for them to attend Dell Tech, and we're looking at other facilities right now, institutions to train paramedics. If they sign up, it's a five-year commitment. And if they fail, if they leave before that 5 years is up, then they have to pay back the county some portion of that right. fee.
Correct.
With that percentage of the money.
Yeah, that's usually a standard.
To answer some of Councilman.
Please identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry, Liz Petrick again. With the scholarship program, we would not be paying your salary in addition to your tuition.
That.
So that's where the biggest savings.
That's why I wanted to compare the comparison. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. McDonald, did you have something to say?
Director Brian Cover, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick and Councilman Smiley.
Thank you. If we hire somebody ahead of time and we pay them a salary and they go through Dell Tech and we're paying the tuition, what are we, is that when we're requiring 5 years?
Yes.
Okay, so they've gotten a salary for the time that they've been in school. If they're there a year and they drop out, they owe us what back? The tuition?
Tuition and salary.
Yes. So on the scholarship, you would be basically you're going into the school, you're looking at somebody, you're thinking that you like them, you're recruiting them.
Yes.
But we're not hiring them, we are just giving them tuition. If then they drop out, we get the tuition back?
They owe us
or
money.
They Absolutely. Owe us the scholarship money back.
They would owe us the scholarship money back, which is their tuition at that point in time if they're synonymous, but we would have to sign a contract, you know, if they're awarding them, you know, money for a semester or how long it is.
So
we would have to take legal action to get that back.
Okay, so if we give them a scholarship, we are also guaranteeing them a job.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Provided they successfully
that they complete it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
And I just want to clarify because it seems like the conversation went a little different than my comments. I wasn't questioning the validity of it. My only thing was, I want to make sure that we put ourselves in the legal position of reaping the benefit and the people in New Castle County of the investment of their tax dollars. I know Christiana Hospital, they have a two-year, depending on the amount that they're putting out, they have a two-year that you have to go back. And if you're terminated, quit, whatever, they collect the cost. Of course, they don't pay you while you go, but, and it's only for employees that I'm aware of. But I don't have any problem with the program. I just want to make sure we're not giving them a scholarship so they can go to Kent or Sussex or Maryland or wherever. They want to go, fine, but then we need to get that back so we can replenish that scholarship fund for the next people.
Yeah, I think we're all on the
yep.
same page that we're not going to fund anybody any kind of way to go off and work somewhere else, and there's language you can craft to ensure that that doesn't happen, and if it does happen, then there's, you know, legal recourse you can, you know, avail yourselves of to get it back. That's pretty much it. The rest of my budget is a repeat, so I thank you for this opportunity, and we'll take any other questions.
Does any council member have a question or comment? I just want to make a couple comments. Number one, when you talk about the issue of recruiting for public safety, let's not forget we're demobilizing huge numbers of people out of the military.
Absolutely.
We're going to have opportunities to hire people that we've got to create whatever bridge programs, or we've really got to look in that direction. You know, this is a national priority to offer jobs and, you know, in public safety that, you know, are comparable to what kind of skills are in the military, military police, battlefield medics. So I'm going to continue to push that. And I know that Chief Tannen said that he was attending a meeting on that very subject. So we can't just stay locked into a Dell Tech model if we're going to, well, we've got to figure out what kind of way we can bridge these people into our paramedic and police, you know, forces. So just want to put that out there. And any other comments? Yes.
So I would just tell you that, that's part of our plan that we put out. And so far as trying to identify, and there is a large pool of folks coming out of the military. So we're going to do our very best to try to identify some of those individuals to cover the county. Larry did attend an event down in Washington, D.C. for that specific purpose. And we have meetings set up with some folks at, like, the Dover Air Force base to try to, again, identify some qualified candidates for both paramedics and
police. And police.
Thank you. And that was Public Safety Director Brian. Okay. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving along, Office of Procurement.
Good afternoon, County Council. I have to say, I've always been in the background cheering whoever's sitting here on, and now I have to cheer myself on. So I'm pleased to have the opportunity to present the Office of Procurement's budget, which includes reproduction and distribution. And I'd like to take this time to recognize a few key staff, which is IS Manager Tom Peralta, who will be following me in presenting the Office of Technology budget, and our budget analyst, who's done a lot of hard work to put this budget together, Nicole Racine. Just to highlight a few of our accomplishments this past year, procurement hosted its first annual Minority Business Forum to provide education on how to do business with the county. We have continued to utilize gov deals to sell surplus property, adding the police abandoned and seized property to the mix this year. And in the past 12 months, as I had represented the council earlier at a finance meeting, we have recovered $152,000 just in the last 12 months, $623,000 since inception in March of 2010. And these accomplishments are on page 13. Procurement complied with the new legislation on contracts and amendments requiring county council approval. And our reproduction section also became the hub for centralized ordering all the standard paper for the county offices, and that's for your copies. As far as challenges on page 14, our biggest challenge continues to be seeking ways to increase supplier diversity. And I'll go over some budget highlights. On page 7, the Office of Procurement requests a minimal increase of 1.63%.
You're doing really well with that comment.
Okay. Here we go. Page 9, this highlights some of the areas. Salary and benefits increase includes the addition of one administrative aid position to the budget. This position will primarily manage the sales of surplus on gov deals. Currently, this function is handled by Tony Pryson Jones, the assistant purchasing agent. The assistant purchasing agent was created a few years ago as a step on the career ladder. And while Tony does an outstanding job managing gov deals, the amount of time required to maintain the success of the program shifts her focus away from procurement. So if approved, the administrative aid position would also provide clerical assistance to the procurement section, including monitoring, collecting, and verifying information in accordance with County Council legislation set forth in Ordinance 12106 and 107. And I appreciate your consideration of adding that position. Travel and training increased $2,500. That's for community events geared towards supplier diversity outreach. And on page 10, we took a reduction of contractual services of $50,000 for professional services that are now managed in-house, such as the spend analysis and bid solicitation to minority vendors outside those currently registered with the county. On page 7 is our diversity comparison. The Office of Procurement is committed to workforce diversity, and currently our numbers reflect strong racial diversity across all categories. And we only have one vacancy on page 17, which it feels weird to say this since I'm the acting chief of administrative services. We do have the vacant chief of administrative services. Any questions?
I just have a question about the exact role of your office and your division. You handle professional services. You do not handle capital project procurement or bids. Maybe if you could clarify that for me.
Sure. We do handle the purchase of goods and services and professional services. The purchase of construction is managed out of special services. We do advertise their bids for them, and we do open them, but they manage the awards at this time. There's a separate piece of code that speaks just to special services construction.
Okay. Questions? Yes, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andrea, you know, been around a long time. You do a great job. You're very knowledgeable, and you're always quick to answer the questions. So thank you. The only thing I question, and I'm not going to question it here and kick it to the administration if it's a concern they see, but with the gov deals, I mean, if we almost need to add another position,
yeah.
I mean, you wonder if we just wouldn't benefit more from doing almost like the state does or whatever. You know, you take everything you have in the yard over at special services, and you bring in an auctioneer, and you auction it off, or...
Yeah.
I mean, are we really making that much through like the gov deals and now end a position? And I don't know. So it's more of a question for another day. But you know, I certainly wouldn't hold your budget up for that. And it's something we could analyze later. But
well, we have brought in annually over $100,000 each year since we started it. And just to give an example, we used to take a police car over to the auction house. It would bring maybe $500. We're at least doubling, sometimes tripling that on each call, on each police vehicle that we're sending to the auction. So it has been very beneficial, we believe. I don't think we've seen this kind of intake of money for the surplus.
I just wonder if you know, need a position and benefits, retirement, and everything. Is the $100,000 still that attractive of a number? No, I don't know. Just a question for another day, though.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? Okay, well.
Thank you.
You had a really
good job curing yourself.
Thanks all those friendly faces at the table.
Office of Technology. Step up and give us your presentation.
My name is Tom Peralta. I'm the Information Systems Manager. Pleased to come here before everyone today to make this presentation. Beginning on page 2, you can see that we have 32 positions across three different areas: central services, GIS or geographic information systems, and information systems itself. We also have 8 additional outside contractors who work at 2 facilities, help desk, telephones, and providing database administration services. Like Andrea, we share a half of Nicole. Thank you for a half of Nicole. We also have a half of an account clerk together. They form one person, and they do a lot of work for us. Page 3 indicates our budget of $8.1 million, which represents a 1.14% increase over last year. Some of that is due to acquiring the additional employee from Central Services. On page six, lower right-hand corner of the 2014 recommended budget, you can see that 42% of our budget, of course, is attributable to personnel costs. Our next largest category is contractual services, which includes paying for those 8 contractors, as well as many software maintenance contracts. that we maintain within IT for all the departments. On page seven is a breakdown of just the information systems portion of the budget. That is the component that is cross-charged back to all the departments individually. We've had that discussion with a few council members here before. And it's interesting, I think, to have those conversations and to exchange back and forth so that we can share how we come up with those cross charges, which generally is a topic of discussion. Page eight shows our breakdown of diversity. We too are committed to a diverse workforce, and we do our best to meet those standards. Page nine indicates some of the higher object levels of information systems with individual breakdowns there. And if we flip over to page 14, several of our accomplishments in the past, I'm certainly not going to read all of these to you. I'll definitely entertain questions on any one of these. But, you know, basically one of the larger things we did this past year was a rollout of Exchange 2010, which was an upgrade to the email system that everyone uses, as well as the archive solution in back of that. We left Symantec in favor of an EMC Source One solution. We've also expanded our VMware farm of servers. We've gone from a footprint of servers that would have filled this room at one point in time to something much, much, much smaller than that. So we consume a lot less electricity, and we have ample air conditioning there when no one else probably does. Within our GIS section, we're in the process of, I'm sort of going to blend 2013 accomplishments and 14 challenges here, maybe just a little bit. We're moving away from our current ArcIMS environment in favor of an ArcGIS online environment. It's much more modern and will allow us being our own staff, not having to contract out to make changes to our mapping sites when we have changes like to the comprehensive development plan and other such contentious topics that seem to involve taxpayers looking for information and wanting it quickly. We're also very pleased that our vendor for our financial system, Tier, Cogsdale, Haddon Harris, whatever you want to call them, they are migrating away from their mainframe-ish platform, if you will, to a more client-server level environment. So we're going to be leaving the Sun servers and the HP servers, which are, you know, older, less supported, to something that's more supported and will allow me to sleep better in the evenings. So that's a good thing. We're continuing to roll out some cloud-based technologies. We've been at products. Some of those things you might not be aware of. Upcoming year, we're going to be rolling out some things that are going to allow us to use iPhones better and iPads and those sorts of technologies. These things are always discussed at our technology subcommittee meeting with council. Redesign of the website is in process right now. And as I said, we're going to be moving more towards a GIS server platform away from ArcIMS.
Councilman Smiley.
I just want to say, and this may not be the right meeting for it, I think I've discussed it before, but as you're looking into all your new stuff, for myself, I would find it extremely useful, and I don't know if there's a way to do this, to allow council members, without the general public in it, to access, for instance, the code violations that we can currently access from in here.
Yeah, but
signed, but we can't access from home, as well as a property search by name, which we can do from in here, but can't do from home. I mean, just if that's something to keep in the back of your mind, because when we're home, we're working, or it's late at night, and we get a phone call or something, it would be really helpful if I could, because I know, just to be on the safe side, that I'm filing a code complaint on one that I'm reasonably sure is in the system, So now I've got a code officer who's got to open that in the morning, then they got to re-enter it and assign it a new number, you know, another number. So now there's another code complaint, whereas if I could go in there and see that it was there and still open, then I wouldn't put the rest of the county staff through that process. So just something you know, keep in mind, if you would.
That's all right. I think Mr. McDonald threw up his hand as a lifeline, then Councilman Tackett.
If we can do that without me having to buy something else.
For you, $29.95.
$29.94, too much.
Call the help desk. They can give you a product called NetMotion. They can install. You can install it on your home computer. Get your local network.
I don't take anything from the county and install my personal stuff. So.
We've had some requests, Councilman, and we're probably going to be putting some of that code information up onto our parcel view site. Not sure if it will, 100% be what you're looking for.
Progress is progress. I'll take baby steps.
And you can certainly contact the help desk with, those kinds of ideas, or better yet, if you went right to the department, and they can communicate through us. Because, we don't mind putting that stuff up. As far as the name search goes, that ability is in there. It's a switch that we've flipped multiple times in the past 28 years, one way or the other, depending on the mood of the time, as to whether or not we should allow people to do name searches. I know Sussex County, you can do it.
Open government.
Newcastle County, it currently says no. And we've had different reasons, from protection of public safety officers to many ideas. But we can certainly flip that back on if there's, ample interest in that. On page 18, we list out our vacancies. We currently have 6 vacancies, 1 vacancy sitting in back of me.
Really? I just had a couple questions about this chart. This is very illustrative.
Which one is that?
The personnel, page 18. So you have 4 funded positions that have been vacant.
That's
2
correct.
Unfunded.
Correct.
Why haven't you filled them?
Various reasons. In the past, we were always told to be frugal with those. I would prefer to perhaps feed all this into a reorganization plan, which we're, sort of kicking around right now with 2 other people. I believe we can collapse these down, enhance our structure, and still save money. So we're working on those numbers and idea for that right now.
Thank you. Councilman Weiner.
Yes. Just following up on your question, Mr. Chair, I'm pleased to hear your response, Mr. Peralta. I think where we are right technology-wise, we ought to be looking at the economies that technology allows us to downsize our budget and continue, as you've done, taking the lead in using the cloud and outsourcing sources while still maintaining the leadership that you have here.
Thank you. We have rolled out, or in the process currently of rolling out, CityWorks over in Special Services, implementing a little different model there, asking them to become more responsible for the day-to-day operation of the site, a little less strain on us, in favor of us providing, more support in terms of infrastructure. But the old days of data processing, knowing the business of all the business units within an organization, I just don't think that's realistic anymore. Because IT has become much more complicated, requiring local expertise. We don't know how to do police work. We don't know finance specifically, so those sort of partnerships, they're going to help us go further on a couple fewer dollars.
I look forward to talking about them at our next technology committee meeting on June 4th at 11:30 a.m.
You just happen to have that date.
Right. So
yes, sir.
Put that on your calendar. I'd appreciate
it. It's there. That's what I have, unless anyone has any questions to follow up.
Well, I guess to get perspective about your division and its percentage cost, given the global budget of county government, I think if you look at it, I don't know if our finance folks can give me that number, but for an $8 million budget across you know, a $240 million government, it does seem to be, you know, something that isn't a huge expense to us as a percentage. I don't know, what is that percentage, do you know? And I guess my sense is, what is the percentage across the country that, you know, our sister counties that are in our situation, what are they paying for, you know, IGS services?
We have to get back to you with that. I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure that we're low, even if you include our capital budget.
It's a ballyhooed issue, this cost charge thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just trying to get a sense, you know, are we right in league where, you know, most counties are in terms of what they budget? Are we low, high? I'd like to have a perspective like
okay.
that.
Okay, we'll take care of that. I'll get back to you on that. Anyone? Additional question?
Well, I guess the comment is certainly government today, as in all things, cannot do its business for the people without this important facet of, you know, computers, software, internet. It's all about, you know, speed of response, accuracy, capacity, and, you know, you really make possible the functioning of everything we do as efficiently as we do it.
We do our best. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Sir. Ours are electronic.
Mine.
Some of us at the table here probably remember the days where, you know, you wrote letters to constituents and you took a phone call. That was about the extent of it, right? We're far away from those days. Okay, next. Thank you very much, sir. Finance. Identify for your record, please, sir.
Yes, sir. Mike Coop, Finance. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Council members. Of course, I'm here to present the fiscal year 2014 Office of Finance operating budget. Try to be fairly brief. First, I'd like to acknowledge that all budget presentations would not be possible without Ed Milowicki and our budget professionals that prepare and coordinate the 2014 budget presentation. Thank you. During the current fiscal 2013, the Office of Finance saw many accomplishments, such as maintaining our coveted AAA bond rating during our August 2012 bond issue, which also netted the county a bond financing savings of $4 million in debt service. We also received from the Government Finance Officers Association our 32nd consecutive Certificate of Achievement Award, and for the fiscal year 12 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, as well as our 23rd consecutive Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. Our assessors assessed over 13,000 parcels during calendar 2012, adding over $31.9 million to the tax base, as well as adding $59.5 million to the tax base by removing various tax exemptions. Our Treasury group continues to bring in our billed county taxes at a 99% efficiency rate. Some of our goals and challenges for the upcoming fiscal year for 2014 would be to continue to provide financial oversight over the approved fiscal year 2014 operating budget, protect and preserve our AAA bond rating, maintain our national excellence in financial reporting from the Government Finance Officers Association, prepare for the installation of a new countywide financial system to replace our aging system of 15 years since the vendor no longer supports the software. This is what Tom was speaking to during his presentation. We also need to continue our overall success of 99% tax collection rate. We hope to establish methods to identify and capture properties not included on the current assessment rolls. Along with that, what will also be challenging will be to, with retirements, will be to keep with the increased assessments as the housing industry continues to rebound. Now I'll move on with our budget that's included in the handout that everyone receives. Our fiscal year 2014 staffing chart listed on page one lists the 75 positions by section.
these numbers are reflective of what the total staff has been since fiscal year 2011, which is down from the prior years to that. Of the 75 positions, six of the positions listed are on page 19 of the handout are currently vacant. Of the six vacant, the assessment technician has recently been filled, reducing that currency vacancy to five, of which four are currently either in the application process or the interviewing process for selection. Our diversity makeup of our office is listed on page six. This is where our diversity has been for the last 3 years, and it reflects a 60% of our workforce is female. Of fiscal year 24 recommended budget listed on page 4 and 7 reflects a 5.8% increase over our fiscal year 2013 budget. Some of this increase is attributable to merit increases for eligible employees and the funding of the confidential assistant and account clerk 2 position and the return of the employee benefit surcharge. There's a $16,000 increase in our training line, which is for a certification requirement for our assessors. There's a $5,000 increase in our postage line and a net increase in our contractual services line of $72,000, of which the bulk is necessary to pay for the asset inventory, which is required every 5 years. Obviously, we're coming up on our fifth year. There's a small increase of $5,000 in our equipment line and a cross-charge increase of $26,000. Pretty much sums up our fiscal year 24-14 recommended budget. And if there's any questions.
Any questions, comments, or members of council about the Department of Finance? Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Just on 22 and 23, where it gives your goals and your actual collection, obviously in your property tax, it's really high. But when you go down to the sewer, I mean, you drop down from like 99% down to 95 and 96%. Is there a reason that we have trouble collecting sewer more than taxes? Is there the same procedure that you go through to collect them?
I'll go furthest to my predecessor. He's probably answered this question.
Maybe we just shut the sewer.
Only because he's probably answered this before.
Yeah, no, we're fine.
We saw the drop when the economy went down as far as people paying on time. Eventually, within 5 years, we'll collect that money. But that's talking about the current collection that year. More people are late every year. Again, this deals with the economy. But eventually, we will collect that money within a five-year span to make that up, to get that back.
They just assume we won't turn the sewer off.
Yeah,
is that?
Yeah, well, Mike would do that now. He would go out and turn the sewer off.
Yeah, me too.
I've never had that opportunity. But supposedly, that is.
Having been out there, we know what to do, right?
That's right.
County code, state code, I think county code or state code gives that duty to the chief finance officer to go out there and turn off somebody's sewer.
So if we get a key.
Would like I love that color?
Like the water company. We need one of those keys like the water company.
Right, has, that's right. Right. Thank
that
you.
That could be a new team. Can we add a couple positions?
I'm about to lose to them.
Well, it could be a board with the volunteer.
Crap,
closer. Just looking at you, I think you reviewed the training and civic affairs issue.
Yes.
That's just
the assessors.
That's training for the assessors.
Assessors.
Okay. How about the decline in street light?
Did you really touch on the street light?
What are you turning? People turning out the lights, not paying the tax.
Which page there, Captain?
When the 13 budget was put together last year, it was based on a proposal by Delmarva Power. And at that time, the rate was before the commission, so we based the budget on those proposed rates. So when the rate was finally decided, it was a lot less than they requested. So we're using those rates now for this year's budget. So that's why the budget has gone down. They've never granted lower rates, but I think the DPNL is again back before the commission for another rate increase. So there may be an increase somewhere along the line on that also.
Now yes, Councilman Powers, go ahead.
I think it could end up staying the same.
Yeah.
By what I understand with the Public Service Commission, because there's going to be a decrease, but then maybe a partial increase, which will probably keep the draw on board.
You
know?
Always negotiate the downside.
I'm just telling there's two sides to that with the Public Service Commission.
Let's go back to what I was saying. we act as a pass-through agent for school tax.
Yes, sir.
And are we recovering our cost on that? What is that? What do we get on?
We always recover our cost.
Okay. How do we structure that?
We structure it based on prior year's expenditures, correct?
Yeah, I don't know if you can finance office again. Yeah, I mean, we have an estimate of what it costs us as far as, you know, the process of collecting the school taxes. I mean, as I mentioned in prior budgeting, in prior years, I mean, we used to do pretty well on the float when rates were higher, because we'd hold on to that money for 30 days before we turned it over to the state. I mean, we're still making money off of holding on to it, but very little. But it, from what the analysis that our staff has done, we do cover our costs on that. So, but we'd be welcome to give the state that function if they want it.
We collect that based on state law.
Yes. Correct. And most of the complaints you hear when people receive their taxes is why our taxes are so high, is because, you know, two-thirds is school, one-third is county.
State law does mandate that the county collect it.
Yep.
Okay.
And your division went through a big increase when we transferred the assessment from land use. How do you feel that
2013.
How do you feel that is working? Is that a logical reorganization? Is that?
Well, they were under finance many years ago.
Okay.
They were part of finance.
All right. And any other comments, questions from members of council? Quiet. We're all quiet here today. All right. Any other comments for members of the public? Okay, can I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the budget hearing is meeting is closed.